Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, it's about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on June 24th, 2017, program 191 in the WGN Radio series. I am your genial host, Carl Amari, and to my right, the also genial host, Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl?
Hey, look who's in the studio with us here.
It's Roger Badish.
It's Roger Badish.
One of the birthday people.
There's two birthdays tonight.
I know. It's an exciting day. Yeah. It's a good day to have a birthday. It's Roger's birthday. Am I allowed to say
Roger,
your age, Roger?
19.
Sure. 65.
Yeah. Well, and we can add that together, 6 and 5.
Yeah. So, and Shante, our wonderful producer, it's her birthday, and
yeah.
She's less than 65.
We're celebrating, and we have pizza in the house from Lou Malnati's.
Pizza, of course,
yeah.
Lou Malnati's.
Oh, yeah.
And
so,
all sorts of other goodies.
We also have some brownies and some other good stuff. All right, but guess what? Classic radio is on the agenda, and we have a terrific lineup. We have Escape starring Jack Webb, The Aldrich Family starring Ezra Stone, and then Crime Does Not Pay. We've never played one of these. It's new to the library. It's a really good show. You're going to like it a lot. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This singer and actress stars in the upcoming film A Star Is Born, one of three remakes of the original 1937 version.
Wow.
Remember,
yeah.
The first one was with?
The very first one. I know one of them was with Janet Gaynor. And then one was
got Judy Garland was the 1937,
yeah, but
right?
I think the very first one was even before that.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
And
I
then
don't, 37,
I'm pretty sure
I
Janet
was...
Gaynor starred in A Star Is Born, and then Judy Garland, and also
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, Barbara Streisand.
And now we've got Lady Gaga.
Well, you just gave away the answer,
shoot.
So that was really good, Lisa. That's really, really good.
Wait a minute.
But we had
let's
a winner.
See if this works.
We had a winner. Let's go to a commercial break, and then we'll be right back.
We're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're going to play the clip that we never played before because I erroneously gave the answer a little prematurely, but here's the
a
clip.
A little prematurely.
Just a bit.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me.
I love it.
And we have Jim on the line. Jim knew the answer whether I said it or not. Right, Jim?
I sure did.
Okay, so we're going to go with that.
Carl, how are you?
Hey, Jim. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, thanks.
So you say the answer. It's better coming from you.
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. How did you know?
just a hunch. We all love Lady Gaga.
Thank you for calling in, Jim. You are absolutely right. Lady Gaga is the right answer. And we are going to give you two tickets to see My Son the Waiter, A Jewish Tragedy. It's playing at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts, which is in Skokie. I'm excited to see the show myself. I'm going to be seeing it soon. It's a hit comedy about a man's struggle to make it as an actor in New York. You can get tickets at mysonthewaiter.com.
My Son the Waiter.
Yes.
All right, Jim, there you go. You're a big winner,
buddy. I
hope
you love the show. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care, Jim.
Enjoy the show. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning playing all your favorite classic radio shows. As I said tonight, it's Escape, The Aldrich Family, Crime Does Not Pay. And Lisa and I and the whole gang are here every Saturday and Sunday from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. And if you want to text us while we're on the air, the number to text us, 312-981-7200. That's also our call-in line. But you can text us. We get all the texts, 312-981-7200. We love hearing from our listeners, right,
yeah,
Lisa?
Yeah, you can also go to our Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater. You can make sure to like us there. And we have our schedule posted for tonight and for tomorrow. And we will be posting pictures of the stars throughout the evening, so you can watch for that.
Hey, Roger, have you ever seen Lisa respond to the listeners, see how fast her thumbs move? You ever seen that? It's like the eighth wonder of the world.
I love responding to our listeners.
I mean, I've never seen anyone's fingers move that fast.
I have never seen thumb muscles.
Yeah.
So large.
Well, they're huge.
I know.
They're huge.
I know. It's amazing.
All right, well, we're going to get into our first show here.
I was going to do my Henry Aldridge.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I love the show.
All right.
Right, ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Henry Aldridge coming, mother.
We're stars.
Perfecto.
We're stars.
Well, actually, she should be doing the
She should be doing
Henry,
the mother.
Right.
Henry.
There you go.
Henry Aldridge.
I know.
Coming, mother.
Well, she did it already.
Coming, mother.
It. Yeah.
All right, well... We're not starting with Aldridge. We're starting with Escape.
I love Escape.
Escape was radio's greatest series of high adventure, Roger. And it came to radio in 1947, lasted seven seasons. Who were the two voices of Escape? Do you know?
Gosh.
Come on. You can do this. William Conrad.
Oh, right.
And Paul Frees. Those are the two voices of Escape. And it had the best supporting players, Harry Bartell, Joseph Kearns, Ben Wright, John Daner. Remember the opening? Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from Lisa Wolf?
I remember those words.
Isn't it funny? It's like foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's time for Escape, starring Jack Webb. This is from December 13th, 1949, called Border Town, part one of Escape.
Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
It all started on the bus just outside of Dallas. The sailor who had snored beside me since Memphis got off and the big fat guy got on. He overflowed into my half of the seat, and for sound effect, he ate one apple after another. He must have bought them by the sack. Hey, fella, do you mind?
Mm-hmm.
My top coat?
Oh.
I'd like to have it pressed, but I'd prefer a tailor to do it.
Mm. Yeah.
I pulled the coat out from under him. From then on, I held the coat in my lap. In my mind, he was symbolic of everything connected with this trip and with my life. Second rate, middle class, mediocre. I was on my way to Hollywood. Yeah, I'm an actor. Under personal contract to Henry Slafta, big director. Oh, it sounds impressive, but it isn't. It's one of those insignificant stock contracts with short options and shorter dough. I should have turned it down, but I was flat broke, on my heels. That's why when I found the money, I did what I did.
Okay, folks, we're stopping here for 15 minutes.
Another stop, chance to stretch. Well, I had a cup of coffee and a spud nut in the depot, and I was starting back to the bus when I saw him, my apple-chewing friend. Two men with cop written all over them were leading him out of the bus. It was a pinch. I wondered why they'd picked him up. I really didn't care why they took him as long as he didn't come back. Now I had the seat to myself. But he'd done me a final courtesy. He'd knocked my top coat onto the floor and walked on it.
Okay, everybody on. Let's go.
From then on into El Paso, he was the topic of conversation.
He didn't look like a criminal to me.
My dear, didn't you hear what the bus driver said? The man's a counterfeiter, one of the smartest ones in the country. The police have been after him for ages.
A counterfeiter? How exciting. I must get off at El Paso and send a postcard back to Madge. Won't she be thrilled for me?
Counterfeiter. Well, that's the last thing I would have pegged him for. El Paso, and Hollywood still 24 long hours away. Well, economy or no economy, I wasn't going to go on. I was dead tired, saddle sore from 3 days and nights on that bus. So I switched my ticket to the following day, and I hunted up a cheap hotel. The bellhop there was full of helpful ideas on how I could spend the evening.
Well, how about Juarez, mister?
Juarez, huh?
Yeah, old Mexico, just across the International Bridge.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten that this is a border town. No, no thanks. I just want to get some sleep.
Sure, mister. It's up to you.
I tipped the kid and stretched out on the bed. I dug in my pocket for a cigarette, but I was out, so I reached into my top coat for the carton. That's when I found it. A package of money. A lot of money. All in 50s and 100s. Nice, clean, fresh bills. I counted them fast. $15,000 worth. So that's why I found my coat on the floor of the bus. Fatso had stashed his homemade money in my pocket. Why, the lousy... I'd fix his wagon, planting it on me. Operator, give me the FB... No. No, never mind. Wait a minute. Why should I? If I turned it in, I might get involved, and I couldn't afford to. When I got to Hollywood, I'd... Hollywood. Boy, what an entrance I could make into that town if all this dough were only real. I could just picture the look on Henry Slapped's face if I flew into Hollywood with a new wardrobe, stopped at the ambassador, took a sweep, made a big splash. Yeah, if only the dough were real. Well, I couldn't sleep now. I was too stirred up, so I took a shower and changed my clothes and went out. I didn't have anything particular in mind, but since the hotel was near the International Bridge, I went over into Juarez, and I wasn't quite sure why I did it, but in my pocket was one of the $50 bills. I went up and down the cheap main drag, sampling tequila and brushing off vendors of huaraches and leather dolls, just like the rest of the tourists. But all the time, that $50 bill was burning a hole in my pocket. It was in a small bar, a crummy place called El Serape, that I finally took a chance. I'd had a couple of tequila daisies, and each time I'd given the waiter a half a buck. This time I handed him the $50 bill. I held my breath. Suddenly, I knew I'd been a fool. He didn't put it in the cash register as he had the other money. Instead, he went down to the end of the bar and handed it to a man sitting there, obviously an American. He took it, looked at it, and had the waiter point me out. I got up out of the booth and started for the street, but the American caught me at the door.
I'm Chuck Rice. I'm the manager.
Yeah. Hiya.
You give this $50 bill to the waiter?
Yeah. I guess I forgot to wait for my change, huh?
You don't want to go around forgetting money like this. Just visiting?
Yeah. Tourist.
You know you're taking a big chance. You're setting yourself up like a pigeon.
Well, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
Don't get excited, amigo. This is border town, that's all. The wrong people might get the idea that you're carrying more bills like this.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
Yeah, sure. But if you were, I could put you in touch with most anything. Maybe a little gambling. We could fix you up with a little game. Anything you want to buy, I can get it for you.
No, I don't want to buy anything. But suppose I wanted to sell something.
Sell? That's a little tough. I'd have to see a sample.
You got it, mister, right there in your hand. I was taking a crazy chance, but I've kicked around Broadway long enough to know a contact man when I run into one, and Chuck Rice was definitely shady. He stood there scowling, turning the bill over and over in his hand.
Oh, so that's why you wanted to walk out on your change, huh? Thought I had it spotted. You got more like this?
Yeah.
On you?
No, I'm not that much of a pigeon.
How much more?
Enough.
You want to dump it?
Maybe. With the right kind of a deal.
Here's your 50 back. I don't know from nothing about this kind of commodity.
Well, I didn't pay for the drinks.
All right, it's on the house. Your money's no good here.
I took the 50 and put it in my pocket. I shrugged and hoped my indifference went over. I was almost to the street when he called after me.
Hey, amigo.
Huh?
I was just wondering. How much you got?
Why?
Well, if you got enough, maybe Nieves would be interested.
Nieves? Who's Nieves?
Down here, we don't ask questions like that. You go to the cab stand on the corner. Ask for Miguel. Tell him you want to see Nieves. Tell him Chuck Rice sent you. Only this time, amigo, if you want to do business, you better have the dough on you.
Miguel. Hey, I'm talking to you. What's the idea? You keep going around in circles.
Bien sabe, senor.
Bien sabe, my foot. I want to go to Nieves.
Si, senor. Si, Nieves.
Well, let's get going. Never mind the sightseeing. Miguel was driving down dark back alleys and dirt roads. I couldn't tell which direction we were going, and I'm sure that was the idea. But we were getting further and further out of town. I was beginning to wish I didn't have the money on me. I hadn't gone back to the hotel for it when Miguel suddenly pulled off the road into a ruddy gopher-hole courtyard of a broken-down hacienda. It was littered with debris. I stumbled over a pig. His squeals woke a bunch of chickens roosting on a fence. Then I saw her. She was lying in a canvas hammock, one bare foot hanging over the side, deep in the enjoyment of an oversized cigarette. She seemed asleep, except for the rhythmic puffs of smoke. She never opened her eyes all the time I was there. Can you hear us? Chuck Rice sent me. He thought we might be able to work out a deal. I got some money. I want to sell it. Chuck Rice said that you might handle it. You hear me?
Yeah.
I got $15,000 American in 50s and 100s.
How much you want?
Well, what'll you give me?
How much?
Well, I figure 5,000 would be fair.
No touch.
What?
If that's all you want, I no touch.
Why?
Too hot.
Well, if you think it's worth more.
No touch.
Okay, no touch. Come on, Miguel.
Si, senor.
Senor?
Yeah.
O'Toole.
How was that?
O'Toole, maybe he buy.
O'Toole? Where's O'Toole?
Miguel, no.
Si, senor. Come, I will take you.
Well, your English is improving, Miguel. Maybe your sense of direction will improve, too. And it did. As the crow flies, so did we, straight to O'Toole's Dine and Dance, a gaudy tourist trap hypoed on the outside with neon signs advertising the best food and music in Juarez, while inside, five Latin beboppers were making hash out of Embraceable You. Miguel okayed me to a squint-eyed character who reluctantly led me down a hall, up a steep flight of stairs. We stopped in front of a door. Behind a huge red lacquered desk sat a handsome Chinese in a dinner jacket smoking a long black cigar.
Ah, good evening. What can I do for you? A drink, perhaps?
No, no thanks. I came to see O'Toole.
Yes, I am O'Toole.
You, O'Toole?
It's one of those tricks of nature. I wear my mother's face and my father's name.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything.
Well, think nothing of it, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, Smith.
Now, you have something you wish to sell?
That's right.
May I see the money?
Money? How did you know?
$15,000, as I understand it. How much do you want for it?
$6,000.
You told Nieves $5,000.
Nieves?
Oh, you're surprised. I know about that. Chuck Rice always sends them out to the country to see Nieves before they come to me. Now, let me see the money. All of it.
Sure. Here. Look, I'll take the $5,000.
I'll give you $4,000.
Oh, now, wait a minute. There's $15,000 there. You won't have any trouble passing it in Mexico.
I know that. I also know that when this kind of money turns up in this part of the world, it means only one thing. I am your last resort. Well, Mr. Smith?
Yeah. Give me the $4,000.
All right. A gripping tale of escape starring Jack Webb. Yeah, there's a nice picture on the WGN Facebook page.
WGN Radio Theater Facebook page.
Well, no, also on the regular WGN Facebook page of Jack Webb, an early picture of Jack Webb. And the fun fact that we put out this week was that Jack Webb, when he was a struggling actor before hitting it big with Dragnet, did a lot of radio, and here's one of the radio shows he did, 1949, This is Border Town on Escape. Hope you're enjoying it. We'll get back to it in just a few moments.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
We've had a lot of texts in, huh, Lisa? Your thumbs are going to get a lot of exercise.
Yeah, I actually use all my fingers in the keyboard. Thank you. I do know how to type properly.
That's how fast your fingers are moving. I'm only seeing your thumbs.
I actually use all of my fingers except my thumbs.
Really? Oh, gosh.
You use all the other fingers except thumbs.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You have to watch more carefully.
Well, maybe it's the way you do the phone thing. Something you use your thumbs. I can't try.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you
I don't
keep
know.
Thinking about
All
it.
All right. Well, anyway, our text in line 312-981-7200. Any questions you'd like to ask us about the show or about classic radio? Or about Lisa's life?
We have a lot of
Lisa's
people.
Life. That
that
almost rhymes.
It's close. We had a lot of
la,
people
la.
Who have texted in or posted that they want brownies and or
they want, some
pizza,
of the pizza.
And we do share.
Yeah.
So you come by and we'll share.
Yeah, just
just bang down the window and we'll
no,
send
no,
a piece.
Don't
no,
do
just
that.
Teasing. We'll just send a piece through the crack in the door.
Yeah, we can do that. Shove it under the crack
under
in the door. All right, so we also have a website for this show. It's a lot of ways to get a hold of us or to contact us or to find out what we're playing. And you know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
We just updated the website, the schedule. It's all the way, I think, till August. So if you want to know what classic radio shows we're playing right here on the WGN Radio Theater, just go to WGNRadioTheater.com and check out the schedule.
It's there.
Yeah. Lisa works hard on that.
It's all there. And each week we post that that weekend schedule on our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page and on the WGN Radio Facebook page.
Along with pictures.
Yep.
All right, well, it's time now for the conclusion to Jack Webb in Escape.
He went to the safe, got the money, and paid me. I got out of his office. Well, maybe I should have held out for more, but he gave me the creeps. Besides, any way you look at it, $4,000's a lot of money. I could knock Henry Slapped's eyes out with less than that. Downstairs in the club, the floor show was on when Adagio team was going through its calisthenics. I was just passing the bar when she bumped into me.
Hello, Charlie.
No, I'm not Charlie.
Oh, sure you're Charlie. You gotta be Charlie.
Go on, beat it.
Come on. Don't be a sucker. We're being watched.
Well, so what am I supposed to do?
Be smart. Buy me a drink.
Look, I told you, I'm not interested.
Interested in getting out of here alive?
What kind of a crack is that?
You see Squint Eyes over there by the entrance? Well, he's not the doorman.
Come on, look, what's this all about?
O'Toole. He wants back whatever it is he gave you.
I'll buy you that drink. Come on.
Make it scotch.
Yeah. Bartender, 2 scotch and sodas. All right. Now tell me why you're interested.
I'm supposed to knock you out.
Your what?
Those 2 drinks you just ordered. Yours will be loaded. And not with Romo quinine to cure your cold. Ever hear of knockout drops, tourist?
Yeah, sure, but I don't get it. What are you telling me for?
I don't know. Maybe because you're from my side of the border. Maybe because you don't look like the kind of scum that usually comes in this joint.
All right. So my drink's going to be loaded. And Squint Eyes is over to the front door to make sure I don't get away. I don't have much choice, do I?
Yeah, you do. I'm going to help you.
Help me?
After the drink hits you, I'm supposed to get you out the back door into the alley and then roll you.
Well, now, that'll be a big help.
But I'm not going to. Quiet. Here come the drinks.
All right, what do I do now?
When I reach around you for the ashtray, they won't be able to see you. Switch the drinks. You drink mine.
Yeah, but how about you?
They don't
you?
Expect me to drink it.
Yeah, but you...
No, switch them. Get it down. Drink it. In a minute, pretend you're dizzy. I'll help you get to the alley. And when you get there, you better run, brother. And run fast.
Squint Eyes had left the door and was coming toward the bar, so I did what she told me. After I'd gulped the drink down, I sat on the stool a couple of minutes, and I pretended to get dizzy. She helped me off the stool, put my arm around her shoulder. We were almost to the door, almost to the alley. It was just perfect, except for one thing. I was dizzy. My stomach turned over and over, and I passed out cold. The smells were the same. Beer, tequila, stale black tobacco. But the sound had changed. There'd been music before. My stomach burned and my head throbbed, and somebody was lying across me. I raised up, tried to focus my eyes, but I couldn't. Gradually, I placed the sound. It was some kind of a car. Bus? No, a truck. I was lying on the floor in the back of a truck, and there was a man lying across me. From the stench of him, he must have been drunk for a week, but from the inert way he lay, he could have been dead. I pushed him off and shook him. Where are we going? What is this? Hey, come on, wake up, will you? Listen to me. Then I suddenly remembered the money. The $4,000, it was gone. I was clean, broke. I'd been rolled all right, and by a dame who even told me before she did it. Then I saw the rest of them. The truck was a big van, and it was loaded, packed with the dregs of border town, a sodden human cargo. All of them filthy, bleary-eyed. But one of them looked awake and reasonably sober. Hey, you over there. You speak English?
Si, senor.
Well, what happened? What are we doing here?
Oh, we all fall drunk, senor. Oh, it's no good to fall drunk. Oh, you go to Hensler's.
Hensler's?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Oh, caray. No es bueno. Oh, I have been there before. I should know not to fall drunk. Oh, one whole month I have been there. Ese lugar es muy feo.
You've been where before? Where are they taking us? Tell me.
To Hensler's. Oh, he's a very bad man.
Hensler's? Well, who's Hensler?
Oh, you're going to see, senor. You will see.
That's all I could get out of him. We were going to Hensler's and it wouldn't be good. And it sounded like I was about to find out.
You guys, come on, the party's over. Hey, Miller, move these crips along. You guys don't look like no bunch of daisies, but we'll make you bloom, won't we, Miller?
He was a brute of a man, and he carried a .45 in a holster. He and the driver, Miller, herded us out of the truck like so many cattle. It was some sort of a road gang. I saw a sign blocking the road that read, Under Construction, Hensler Construction Company. Well, I had no idea where we were, how far away from the border. The landscape was dry, dusty, barren.
Well, Gonzalez, you with us again? Didn't we learn you not to get drunk, huh? Come on, you guys, step on it.
All right, quit shoving.
Come on, come. Hey, what are you doing here?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know.
Miller! How many times I got to tell you to be careful who you pick up?
Now, wait a minute, Jay. Don't get sore before I tell you.
Don't you know we can get in plenty of trouble picking up the wrong guys?
I didn't pick him up. O'Toole threw him in.
O'Toole?
Shut up, you. What O'Toole wish him on us for? Little Hensler hears about you.
Yeah, well, O'Toole has already talked with Hensler. He says this fellow will not give us any trouble. He is an embezzler. The police are looking for him.
Yeah, crazy.
He came across the border to sell some money he had stolen from a bank or something. He must be plenty hot. He was willing to drop 15,000 real dough for 4,000 cash.
Real dough? What are you talking about? That was counterfeit I sold O'Toole.
Listen, buddy, I don't know what your racket is, but nobody fools O'Toole about money.
But it can't be real money. It was counterfeit, I tell you. It had to be. Look, I want to see Hensler.
You talk to me or you talk to nobody?
But I got to see Hensler. I got to get back to Juarez.
Oh? Huh? Did you hear that, Miller? He's got to get back to Juarez.
All right, look, you can't push me around. I'm an American.
Oh, he's an American. Well, send this to your congressman. Okay, American. Get on your feet. Get a pick and start working.
Hensler Construction Company. Just another name for a chain gang. I never saw Hensler. He wasn't there. But in the next week, I got to know Jake all right. I got to hate him. He drove us from dawn till dark, digging a roadbed by hand, pick and shovel, in the hot sun, in the dust, without rest. But worse than the physical torture was the thought that gave me no rest. I'd sold O'Toole real money. For now, I realized I'd never really had any proof that the fat man was a counterfeiter. I just jumped to that conclusion. The bus driver... No, not the bus driver. A woman on the bus said that the bus driver said it, and it drove me crazy just thinking about it. Real money, $15,000. I'd had it in my hand and I'd thrown it away. I had to escape. I had to. There'd been a man in the truck who said he'd been here before, so he must have gotten away somehow. He could help me. You're the man that was here before?
I am Gonzalez.
All right, you got away the other time, didn't you?
I see. But I am back. And this time I don't try to go.
Well, how did you go? How'd you get out?
Well, there is a highway.
There is? Where?
4 mile, 5 mile. Many cars pass there.
Just 4 or 5 miles. That's nothing.
Oh, maybe it sounds nothing to you, senor. But those are bad miles to go. Oof, caray.
Only 4 or 5 miles. Over that way, he told me. Through the ravine. Well, I thought about it all that day, and I planned that I'd try it that night. But when we got back to camp, I was too dog tired even to eat. I just flopped on the hard earth and fell asleep. It seemed that I'd just closed my eyes when I was shaken awake.
Hey.
Huh?
Hey. Get up, American. Get on your feet.
Huh?
I got a little job for you.
Oh, leave me alone, Jake. I'm tired.
Get up! You're on overtime.
He was murderously drunk. He had a bottle of whiskey in one hand and his .45 in the other. So I got up off the ground. All around me, the men were sleeping. If they heard him, they didn't pay any attention. He marched me down to the road bed and threw a pick at me.
There. I'll start digging.
But it's the middle of the night. Look, I'm dead.
I gotta finish the road. Start digging, I said.
What are you picking on me for, Jake? Why me?
You're gonna start digging, or I start shooting.
So I dug. I dug till my hands were bleeding and my lungs were scalded with the effort of breathing. He sat alongside the road, knocking off that fifth of whiskey and riding me every time I faltered. He was just mean drunk enough to kill me if I stopped. So I dug and I dug. Finally, I couldn't go on anymore. I was too tired to care. I dropped the pick and fell onto the road. My face was in the dirt. I lay there, panting, waiting for the bullet. When it didn't come, I turned my head and what I saw gave me new life. Jake was sprawled out dead drunk and the .45 had slipped from his hand onto the ground. It was my chance. I hardly had enough strength left to move, but I knew if I didn't go then, it'd be too late. I'd never get away. I crawled over to him and I got the gun, and somehow I got down the road and through that ravine, stumbled and crawled those hideous miles of the highway. And then I heard it way down the road. It was a car. I ran out like a madman and flagged it down.
Wanda, you said?
Give me a ride, will you?
Oh, you're an American, huh? Going back to the States?
Yeah.
Well, hop in.
I leaned back against the seat, shut my eyes, and slept all the way into Juarez.
Well, here you are. You said O'Toole's dying to dance. Sure I can't wait for you?
No, thanks just the same, but I got some business to take care of.
Okay, good luck.
$15,000 worth of business and Jake's .45 in my pocket to guarantee the deal. I went around to that back door and slipped in quietly and then crept down the hall and up the stairs that Squint Eyes had led me before. This time I entered O'Toole's office without knocking. Hello, O'Toole.
Oh, I didn't expect you back so soon. Sit down. Can I get you something?
Yeah, you can. $15,000.
I'm afraid I don't understand. We made a deal.
Why didn't you tell me the money was real, not counterfeit, huh?
Well, you seem to know what you were doing, and remember, you placed the value on the money. I did not.
Yeah, well, I've just revalued it. I want it back, all of it.
We made a deal, and I paid you, and I'm through with you.
And you rolled me.
How you lost the money I paid you is no concern to me.
All right, then, look, then maybe this will be some concern to you. I took enough punishment to get this gun, not to hesitate to use it. Now get the money while you're still alive.
That won't be necessary. How about, 10,000?
Look, don't stall. 15.
But I should be allowed to realize some profit.
Hurry up, O'Toole. I haven't got all day.
I'll have to open the safe.
Then open it.
Will you take it in tens and twenties?
Now, look, you, I don't care how you give it to me, so long as it's American money. Now, quit stalling and get it. I didn't trust him. I expected any minute he'd pull something fast, but he didn't. He gave it to me. I never realized before the power of a gun. It makes short men tall and tall men strong.
Here you are.
Thanks. Now I could fly to Hollywood and have that suite at the Ambassador and throw a cocktail party, a big party. I'd show them. First, I stopped at the best men's shop in Juarez and got myself outfitted. An imported English tweed suit, cashmere top coat, couple of dozen shirts, and I threw away my old clothes.
There will be something else, senor.
I'll take that alligator suitcase, too.
Si, senor, but you must remember when you go through customs, you must declare the clothes you are wearing. I have to report this.
Oh, sure, sure, don't worry. And these neckties?
Si, senor.
I paid him. It was more than I'd spent on clothes in 10 years. I put $500 in my wallet and stashed the rest of the money away in my suitcase. Then I went to the American Club for a good dinner. Now I was all set to make my entrance. All I needed was a plane reservation for Hollywood. I was just going through customs when he ran up.
That is the man. Stop him.
It was the clerk from the men's shop, gesturing wildly. The customs official listened, and then he came back to me.
I'm sorry, sir, but I have to detain you.
What?
Your wallet, if you please.
Wait, I didn't buy the wallet from him.
If you please, sir, give it to me.
Okay, but it's just an American Hickok wallet, I tell you.
I'm not interested in the wallet itself, sir. We shall see.
There. You see? Did I not tell you? Look. Look, all of it.
What are you guys doing with my money?
You admit this is your money, mister?
Of course it is.
Then I'm sorry you'll have to come with me.
Why?
Because, mister, all the money in your wallet is counterfeit.
Escape is produced and directed by William N. Robeson. Tonight we have presented Border Town by John and Gwen Bagney. Featured in the cast were Jack Webb as Evan, Bill Conrad as Jake, Ben Wright as O'Toole, Tony Barrett as Rice, and Jeanette Nolan as Nieves. Also heard were Ted DeCorsia, Paul Fries, B. Benaderet, Jerry Hausner, and Harry Bartell. Special music was arranged and conducted by Del Castillo.
That is Escape from December 13th, 1949. That's Border Town, starring Jack Webb along with William Conrad. Great cast of characters in there, Lisa. Ben Wright, B. Benaderet, Jeanette Nolan, Ted DeCorsia, Paul Fries, Jerry Hausner, Harry Bartell. Just a lot of, there's a big cast. You know, it's hard to do a big cast on a radio show because people are like, huh, who just talked? That's why you have to cast people with very different
voices.
Yeah, very different voices.
Somebody texted in just this evening that they thought it was Paul Fries's birthday right around now
Paul,
so,
yeah, Paul Fries.
He is.
He worked a lot with Stan Freberg. We were talking, Roger and I, and you were talking earlier about Stan Freberg. We're going to play a Stan Freberg radio show because, you know, his program in 1957 – took over the Sunday night at 6 time slot. Sunday night at 7 time slot that Jack Benny was in. When Jack Benny's radio show went off the air for 15 weeks, Stan Freberg did a radio show. We have all 15 episodes. We'll have to play him coming up this year.
Maybe we could have a Stan Freberg evening.
Yeah, we should.
That
we really,
nice.
Really should. A lot of people love Stan Freberg. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Hey, you know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
We're here every Saturday and Sunday.
Is that right?
You know, my friends on my baseball team, they're always like, hey, I listened to your show on Saturday. Or somebody else will be like, hey, I was driving home and I listened to your show on Sunday.
Right.
And then I'll be, you know, like, you do know we're also on Saturday or, you know, we are also on Sunday. I have to tell my friends this all the time. So I don't know if we say this enough to our listeners, but we're not on one night. We're on two nights. Make sure you mark that down. Write a big poster and tape it to your refrigerator or something.
That's a good idea.
Right?
Write a big poster and tape it to your refrigerator.
Right. Create a poster that
a
says
poster.
Carl and Lisa are on Saturday and Sunday nights.
I think that's great.
From 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. And someone texted in asking me how I'm doing on my diet with Nutrisystem. I started on Nutrisystem, what?
You should be the spokesperson.
Less than 2 weeks ago, and I am down 13 pounds.
Which is,
When you weigh 485 pounds, though, 13 pounds isn't that much.
Are they paying you for this?
No.
Unfortunately.
And I'm paying them.
Exactly.
Actually, today when I weighed myself, I was 175 pounds.
That's huge difference.
I was 176 pounds.
I think it was
pounds.
2 weeks ago when you said to me, I've got to do something.
I weighed 188. Today I was 175.
Oh, that's
amazing. So I'm down 13 pounds, Lisa Wolf. Think of that?
That's amazing. Really, it's a lot of hard work.
It's probably going to be harder now to lose more weight. I mean,
going to have to stop eating that Lou Malnati's pizza.
Yeah, that was pretty good, actually. my goal is to lose another 13 pounds.
All right. Well, we'll follow your journey with you.
How long will that take me to do?
I couldn't say.
The food is good. It really is. Believe me, folks, I'm not getting paid to say this.
Is there Lou Malnati's pizza on the diet?
No.
No.
But they have pizza. You get pizza.
Yeah.
You get ice cream. You get pizza. You get pasta. You get all kinds of stuff.
I think everything in moderation.
The food was good. It really was. It's throw it in the microwave. It's really, for me, it's great because it's just a microwave. You press a button, like, you know, microwave this for 1 minute and 30 seconds. So I hit the 30-second thing 3 times.
Right. Nothing to it.
Right?
You're good.
Because I don't know how to do the other way.
No, I know.
I just do it in increments of 30 seconds.
Right.
Ding, 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 ding.
That's
when it's 4 minutes,
my
finger starts to hurt. Ding,
you
ding,
don't
ding,
know
ding,
how
ding.
To type in 4 minutes?
No.
Minutes?
It's complicated.
It's too complicated.
I have my way of doing things.
I got you.
Just don't mess
old
it up.
Old dog, new tricks.
Yeah. Right.
Like
exactly.
That.
Speaking of old dogs, David just celebrated a birthday.
Mm. Cute.
See how we worked all that in.
Actually, right now, because it's 12 o'clock, so happy birthday,
happy
David.
Birthday, David.
Thank you.
And you guys can check out the video where we sang to David and sang to Roger and sang to Shantae. It's on our Facebook page.
That's right. Okay, when we come back from the news, we have a great episode of The Aldridge Family, Then It's Crime Does Not Pay.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, David Jennings. It's hour 2 of the WGN Radio Theater, and in this hour, it's the Aldridge Family. Good comedy, and then in our third hour, it'll be Crime Does Not Pay. You won't want to miss either of these great radio shows, all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars as Ant-Man in the upcoming film Ant-Man and the Wasp, a sequel to the 2015 superhero film.
All right.
And the winner.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do they win?
I know what you were about to say.
Go ahead,
I'm not going to let you say it.
All right.
The winner will win 2 tickets to My Son the Waiter, a Jewish tragedy, which is playing at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie.
Why don't you tell all the listeners who the actor is?
I will after...
After somebody
after
wins
we have
it?
A winner.
Oh, okay. You want to do it differently this hour than you did the first hour?
No.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. Here's a hint. This actor was the star of I Love You, Man.
I'm working... like a dog. But, you know, the usual stuff.
312-981-7200. Who is that great actor, comedian? We'll find a winner right after these words.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play that movie clip again.
I'm working like a
dog.
But, you know, the usual stuff.
I just have to make mention that this is just one of the greatest comedies.
It's hilarious. If you have not seen I Love You, Man, you've
got
to see it.
It's so good.
So funny.
We've got Daniel on the phone. Hi, Daniel.
Hello.
Did you like this movie as well?
I just knew him from
You that just man. Knew him. So who is this actor?
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is exactly right. And we are so happy to give you a pair of tickets to My Son the Waiter, a Jewish tragedy. It's playing at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts in Skokie. It's a comedy about a man's struggle to make it as an actor in New York. I bet there's a few of those. Get tickets at mysonthewaiter.com. And actually, I'm really looking forward to seeing the show. I'll see it opening nights coming up soon. And then
yeah,
I'll
Lisa
be
goes
there.
To all the opening nights.
I'll
She's
be there.
Very important.
I don't think it's just very important.
She's a VIP. She gets in all of these.
In case you didn't know, as my husband tells me, I'm very important in my own brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations, Daniel. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Love
Take care.
Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate Bye-bye. It. Enjoy that. Enjoy the play. And when does it start?
Soon.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see this.
Would you?
They put on great plays there. They really do.
I can get you tickets.
You
stick
can?
With me.
Wow.
This one
Lisa.
I can. Some I can, some I can't.
And when you get your radio show, Lisa, what is it? What is it again? What's the name of your radio? Your talk
I love
show?
Lisa.
No. What's the talk show you're going to do?
Solutions.
Solutions with Lisa. When you get your own talk show, Solutions with Lisa, I just want to be your sidekick on that. Yeah. Come on, don't forget me
you
now.
You know, I'll interview others as well, and then I'll decide.
I want to be your sidekick on that.
You might have to pay me.
Come on. Just
I'll think about it.
I mean, we've worked together a long time now, since 2008.
Maybe too long, huh?
You know I could do it. I could do this.
I'm going to think about it. I'm going to take it under advisement.
Come on, Lisa.
Talk to my lawyer.
I really want to do another radio show with you. I only do two now with you.
It's not really enough, is it? No. We need a few more days to work together.
All right. Well, Solutions with Lisa. Premiering sometime on some radio station somewhere in some galaxy.
Except when somebody calls me up and offers me the job, I will accept.
Yeah. You should start with a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Start with a podcast. That's what you should do. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to start with a podcast.
Yep.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's time for the Aldrich family. This was a teenage situation comedy. And it was seen in films and on television, heard on radio, and in the comic books. There was comic books of this, too. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't know that till I started doing a little history. I didn't know there was Aldrich Family Comics. This was created by Clifford Goldsmith, and Henry Aldrich was a bumbling kid kind of growing awkwardly into adolescence. It premiered on NBC Radio way back in 1939, and Ezra Stone, who was in his 20s when he was playing this character, played him for many, many years on radio. Then he went into the Army, and there was a bunch of other actors that played the part, including Bobby Ellis played the part as well. Henry's parents were Sam and Alice, played by House Jameson and Catherine Rott, and Homer Brown was played by Jackie Kelk. I interviewed Jackie Kelk. Jackie Kelk played Jimmy Olsen on the Adventures of Superman radio series. Did you know that?
No.
Well, there you go.
You are a wealth of information.
There you go,
for sure.
Lisa. See, I could be doing this on your Solutions with Lisa.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to think about that.
I could talk about old-time radio shows.
Yes, you could.
That. And it made a transition to television in 1949, but on TV it was a completely different cast than the radio show. Ezra Stone was really the best Henry Aldrich, and he is the star of this particular episode. This is from November 6, 1941. It's called The Muscle Building Course. It stars Ezra Stone along with Jackie Kelk. Here is part one of the Aldrich family.
Henry! Henry Aldrich!
Coming, Mother.
The Aldrich Family, written by Clifford Goldsmith and starring Ezra Stone. Entertainment for all the family, brought to you by Postum, a tempting, wholesome drink for all the family. Postum. There's an old saying that claims you're young only once. But you can prolong that youth, and the best way to do that is to share the experiences of Henry Aldrich. He'll take you right back to your own teenage days. Tonight, Henry is visiting Nancy Adams, one of his favorite classmates.
Nancy, tell me honestly, what is it you like about Bill Turner?
I don't know, Henry. I just like him, don't you?
Well, sure, I guess Bill's all right.
Not so loud, Henry. He might hear you.
How would he hear me? He's out in the front hall. And I like him, only...
Hey, Nancy.
Oh, gee whiz.
Did I ever tell you about the time I dove off the top of the boathouse?
Why, Bill, I didn't even know anybody could climb up that high.
Oh, it's easy. You know that flagpole down at the end of the lake?
Yes.
Oh, I dove off that once.
Nancy, how's your mother?
Well, she's better, Henry. She just strained her back a little.
Boy, that was some luck I had in the game Saturday. Boy, remember when those three guys tackled me and I carried them right across the goal line for a touchdown?
That was just wonderful, Bill. I don't see how you stood up.
Nancy, what make radio is this?
Well, I don't know. My father bought it.
You know, Nancy, when I pull those three fellas across?
Yes?
I heard a good radio program the other day. It was about a milkman. Boy, was it funny.
Yeah? Go on.
Well, it was just awful funny. Boy, I darn near laughed my head off.
Yeah?
Henry, could you or Bill open this window a little, please?
Sure, why not?
Wait a minute, Henry. I'll open it.
Well, that's all right, Bill. I've got it practically.
Is it stuck a little, Henry?
No, it isn't stuck. I just... Could you stand back, please, Bill?
How am I in the way?
I want to get my elbows out. Out a little further.
Here, let me show you how to open it.
Now, look out, Bill. All I have to do is... Nancy, would you mind if I push this sofa away?
No, Henry.
Don't get up. I'll push you along. Along. Gee whiz, who opened that window?
I did.
You know, I thought I had it started. I just should have kept at it.
Anything else you want done, Nancy?
Well, there's some ginger ale out in the kitchen if one of you wants
to... Gee whiz, I'll get it for you, Nancy. You stay right where you are, Bill.
Sure, you don't need any help lifting the bottles.
Now, Bill, you'll find everything out there on a tray, Henry. All you have to do is put some ice in the glasses.
I'll be right back.
Listen, Nancy, what do we have to have him around for?
But I like Henry. What do you suppose that is?
Well, I don't know. Nancy, isn't there any way of getting rid of him?
This evening?
What does he ever say?
Bill, my goodness, Henry Aldrich is one of the nicest people I...
Excuse me, Nancy, but is there any special way of getting your ice trays loose?
Well, my mother never has any trouble. All she does is pull and they come right out.
Well, isn't that strange? I'll be right back.
Nice guy. I'd like to see him come out for football practice some afternoon.
Bill, you just don't understand, Henry.
No? Say, about the dance Friday night.
What about it?
What time shall I... You know, he's going to wreck your refrigerator. What time shall I call for you?
Oh, about...
Oh. Nancy!
Yes, Mother?
Are those boys playing football down there?
No, Mother. Henry's getting some ice.
I'll pick everything up, Nancy. Does your mother have a good big screwdriver?
Henry, what is that all over your coat?
Why, I'm pretty sure it's tomato juice.
Well, get out of the way. Come on, Nancy, I'll get the ice out.
I think you'll want something to get it loose with, Bill.
What's the matter with my hands?
Well, be careful where you walk.
Henry Aldrich!
Well, I didn't know that wire basket would come all the way out.
What did you want to take it out for?
So I could spread my elbows.
Yeah. Here, Nancy, will one tray of ice be enough for you?
Gee, had I loosened it that much?
Nancy, you know what we were just saying about Henry in the living room?
What?
Well, don't you remember?
Now, Bill...
You know, Nancy, I think I better be going.
This early, Henry?
Well, I've got a lot of homework to do, and I think I better.
Oh.
So long, Henry.
So long. Well, so long, Nancy.
Bye.
What time will I be calling for you Friday evening?
Friday evening?
Sure, for the dance.
Henry, I didn't promise to go with you, did I?
Why, sure. Why, sure. You didn't?
I don't see how I could have. I'm going with Bill.
Oh, with Bill?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Henry. I guess you just must have misunderstood me. I'll go to the door with you.
No. You go back and have your ginger ale. I can find my way all right.
Well, I hope you understand, Henry.
You and Bill just go ahead and start your drinking.
Sam, could you pass the toast, please?
There you are. Why didn't he go?
Well, dear, that's what I don't know. You remember the other evening when Henry came home from Nancy Adams?
When?
Last week, dear. A couple of nights before the dance. He walked into the house and went right straight up to his room, and he didn't come down again all evening. And Sam Henry hasn't been himself since then.
Did you have a talk with him?
Yes, and all he'd say was he felt dancing was a waste of time.
Mother!
Mary, come in here and eat your breakfast.
Mother, what do you think Henry's doing upstairs?
What is he doing?
He's putting on his best suit again, and that's the fourth day in a row he's worn it to school.
Well, dear, Henry explained all about why he had to wear his best suit.
Is this mail for me?
Yes, dear.
Why does he have to wear it?
Well, he says the class may have their picture taken any day this month, and they just aren't sure which day it's going to be. And so he wants to be prepared.
Well, my goodness, what's this letter all about?
What letter?
Certainly the most absurd thing I've ever seen. It must be for Father.
May I see it, please?
Who is it from, Sam?
From the National Institute of Muscular Development, Incorporated. Dear Mr. Aldrich, are you a man or a mouse?
I knew all the time it wasn't for me, Father.
Yes. Are you a man or a mouse? We assume it is the former, otherwise we would not have received your recent inquiry. No man can make his mark in the world, no man can inspire the love of a good woman, unless he is willing to develop his inner potential strength and enroll in our 26-week course.
Sam, what in the world are you reading?
I don't know, Alice, but I'm fascinated. In case you do not care to sign for the full 26 weeks, we can offer a shorter course for the busy executive who is interested in only partial development. Remember, decide now.
Sam, when did you write for that?
May I see the envelope in which this arrived?
It's right here, Father. Oh, my goodness, it's addressed to Mr. Harold Aldrich. Who's he?
I have no idea whether he's a man or a mouse.
Well, put the letter in the envelope, please. It's probably for Henry.
Mother, why would he want to develop?
I don't know, dear. And besides, it's none of our business. Please put it back in the envelope.
Well, I think I'll walk to the office this morning.
Well, Sam, you haven't walked to the office in 6 years.
Of course I have. I walked a couple of times just this last summer. It made me feel great.
I'll go get your coat for you, Father.
A coat? A coat? Why would I want a coat?
Well, I can at least get your hat for you.
Goodbye, Alice.
Father,
goodbye.
Are you leaving?
Goodbye, son.
Goodbye. Mother, do you have any ideas to where my best tie is?
Your best tie? No, dear. Sit down and eat your breakfast.
But, Mother, I've got to find it.
There'll be plenty of time to find it after you've eaten. Now, please sit down. I want to ask you something.
What about?
What in the world is the trouble?
The trouble? The trouble? Gee whiz, I don't know of any trouble.
But you aren't yourself, dear. When anyone speaks to you, you're way up in the air.
I'm not up in the air, Mother. I may be a little upset this morning because I can't find my blue and white tie, but otherwise I feel fine.
Then why not eat your breakfast?
I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat.
How's Nancy Adams these days?
Nancy Adams? Mother.
Well, all I asked is, how is she?
You see this book here, Mother? You see this book?
Yes.
Well, that gives you an idea of how little interested I am in her.
What about it?
I borrowed it from her 2 weeks ago.
Well?
And now I'm returning it.
That's fine.
I'm returning it. But that's all. That's as far as I go.
Would you like some butter on your toast?
No, thank you. And I'll have you know this, Mother. If she asks me whether I'd like to keep it and finish it, I'll tell her I'm not even slightly interested.
That's fine, dear. Now drink your milk.
And do you know what else?
What?
That's all right. Never mind. But if her folks can't afford a better icebox than the one they have... Gee whiz, do you like Bill Turner?
Bill Turner? I hardly know him.
Gee, he's got a lot to learn. He just goes around. Do you know what he says?
Henry, what's your ambition in life?
My ambition, Mary? What do you mean?
That's all. I just wondered whether you wanted to be a man or a mouse.
Now listen, Mary, I haven't any time for small talk. Have you seen my blue and white tie?
No, but I'd love to see your chest expansion.
Now, Mary.
That's what I say, Mother.
But, Mother, all I was going to ask him was, is he going to take the short course or the 26-week course?
Of what?
Mary, will you please give Henry that letter?
What letter?
I don't think it's for you, though, Henry. You certainly didn't write to the National Institute of Muscular Development Incorporated, did you?
Yes. No. Yes. Listen, Mary, where did you get that letter?
You just said it wasn't yours.
Now listen, Mary, that's United States Mail.
Mary.
Mother, it says right here on the envelope, may be open for inspection.
Mary, give me that letter.
Are you Mr. Harold Aldrich?
No. Yes. No! Now, listen, Mary, you come back with that.
Children, stay out of the living room.
We won't break anything. I'm just helping Henry develop.
Now, listen, Mary, you're only going to make me late for school.
Do you want to take it with you to show to Nancy Adams?
Mary, if you breathe one word about that to her, I'll... Mary! Mary, come back down here with that.
Ah, great comedy episode of the Aldrich family. I love Ezra Stone's voice. This is a true story, Lisa. I'm going to tell you a true story. I met Ezra Stone at a convention in Norwalk, Connecticut, okay, and I interviewed him and got to do a reenactment of Aldrich family and all that with him. And Jackie Kelk was there also. And then we were all going out. We were going to go to dinner somewhere. And I'm not sure if it was Jackie Kelk or somebody said, don't drive with Ezra. And I said, why? He's like, he's the worst driver. He's the worst driver. Don't drive with Ezra. So I think I went with Harry Bartell, who's in a lot of these radio plays. We went to a restaurant then. Years later, I read very sadly that Ezra Stone crashed his car into a tree and died.
Maybe he was a bad driver.
I guess he was a bad driver. But that's how he died. He drove his car into a tree.
You know, there's all sorts of confluences of events that could have caused that. I mean, yeah, that could be a good... I mean, it could have been somebody else that ran him off the road. You
well,
just never
course.
Know
yeah, but
if it had to
just,
do with him
it's
or
crazy
not.
That I almost was driving in a car with him
yeah.
a couple of years prior to that.
Yeah.
But Ezra, he was such a nice man. I mean, he was terrific at this convention, and I interviewed him. I have a great interview with him talking about him playing. You know, he went on later in life after the Aldrich family, he became a very successful early television director.
Oh.
He didn't do a lot of acting later in life, but he directed a lot of early television shows, westerns and detectives and comedy shows and things. He was just a working guy. He loved being in the business, but not a good driver.
No.
Not a good driver. All right, that's the first portion of the Aldrich family. More coming your way after these words. All right, after the news, we will tune into the conclusion to Henry! Henry Aldrich!
Coming mother.
That's coming your way right after the news. Then after that, Crime Does Not Pay, a terrific episode starring Charles Corvin. Now, Roger, I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
Because you are the man behind the curtain.
Yes.
All right, so if I say the name Charles Corvin to you.
Charles Corbin?
Corvin, K-O-R-V-I-N. Charles Corvin. You probably won't know that name.
Yeah.
But he is the star of Crime Does Not, this particular episode of, it was a different star every week.
Okay.
We're going to play an episode. We are going to post a picture of him. If you saw his picture, I think you'd know exactly who he was.
Oh.
He was Carlos in the Mamba episode of The Honeymooners. Do you remember that? When Alice...
Oh,
when
I
they,
do.
When they're trying to learn how to dance.
She wants to learn the Mambo, and
right.
He thinks she's having an affair with Carlos.
Right.
I love that episode.
It's a great episode.
Oh, is that fun?
And that's who it is?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's the star of Crime Does Not Pay that's coming up in the third. And we're going to post a picture of Carlos.
Okay. Now that you mentioned that episode, it's bringing like a flood of memories.
Remember,
back.
He's like him and him.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're in cahoots.
They're like spying on them. And
I think
he finds a glove or something like
right.
that.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh,
what?
That's so good.
The Honeymooners. The funniest show of all time.
I actually agree with
you.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
A lot of birthdays around here.
I know. It's a celebration.
Shantae's birthday. Roger was yesterday.
Yeah.
Today is David's
Jennings.
Birthday.
Yeah.
And yours is around the corner.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
when's yours?
I'll be 21
mm-hmm.
August 20th.
Or 39.
Again.
Yeah, for the second time.
Yeah. Four times over.
Yeah, August 20th. Lisa's...
I'll try to remember.
Let me see if I can remember
He doesn't remember
yours.
Ever,
yours is,
Roger.
Yours
every
in,
year
Yours is
forgets.
In October, okay? And I think it's the 13th.
Roger, he never gets
Wait,
it right.
It's either the 13th or the 18th.
Is he close?
Is it October 18th?
It's not. It's
17th?
Not, it's not.
15th.
Carl, it's not.
It's
I'm
got
not
a team.
It's
well, you got 31 days to guess.
Right. He's guessed five. Let's keep going.
I think it's October.
You know what? Don't worry. I'll remind you when it gets closer.
It's October 15th.
It's
is
not.
He even in the right month?
It is, right?
It's not.
It is, right?
Oh
I swear
God.
To you, it's not.
I'm in the right month, though.
You
right?
are in the right
oh,
month.
Oh, good. Well, that's the start.
So don't you worry. I'll remind you the week before. He gives good birthday
oh,
presents.
Oh, man.
Can you give him like partial credit for the month?
No, I can't.
Got the month.
I just can't.
Okay.
I've known him for like over 10 years, so
yeah.
he doesn't
You'd
get
think
partial
he would know.
Credit anymore.
Has it been over 10 years already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Seems
Gosh.
Like only yesterday.
Yep, exactly.
Whew. Just like only yesterday he was 21.
Man.
It's the same thing.
That's a long time.
Yep.
That's... Hey, listen to this.
What'd
that's,
you get for your
that's
birthday,
That's over a
Roger?
Decade.
I know.
Wow.
It's a long time.
Ah, huh, Roger.
And we still talk.
You, doesn't get much past him,
right?
I tell you. 10 years, that's a
Hey,
decade.
Roger, check this out.
Okay.
10 years we've known each other. We've only had two arguments. Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. one lasted 6 years and the other lasted 4. Hey.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, that's
it's
good.
True. We talked about this the other day.
That's true.
We've known each other 10 years. We're best friends.
Uh-huh.
And we only had two arguments. And
they
were both
about
over
the
money.
Same thing.
Oh, my God. Well, you wanted more and she wouldn't give you any more.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She's very stingy with her money.
She's cheap, Roger.
She is very. Those, you know, the purse, I once tried to open her purse. She has it crazy glued.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even bring a purse.
She crazy
so
glues it.
That makes
you know,
sense.
Here's the beauty. Lisa never carries any money on her. None. And I mean, Roger, yeah. I mean no money. Not one penny.
I have a credit card.
Not one penny.
Well, there's
penny.
Money. Doesn't the credit card count
he
for
means
something?
Cash.
So like
he
means whenever,
cash. Oh, cash. She's not cash. Being clear.
Okay. All right.
That's what I mean. So yeah. Let's say.
I'll have like $4
Let's say
in
Lisa
my
and
wallet.
I are at.
I'll Venmo
what
you.
Is that? What's next door? What is it?
Argo
T. Argo T. We're at Argo T. She'll be like, oh, I could use a Pellegrino right now, Carl.
She knows you have money in your pocket.
And she's, you know.
He's always loaded.
She's like Jack Benny. She doesn't carry any money on her. Female Jack Benny.
I would be thrilled to be.
Wow.
That's a compliment.
All right. We're having too much fun.
If somebody just texted in. It's their birthday. Tell me who you are.
Oh,
tell
happy
me
birthday.
Whose
birthday.
Oh, wow.
Tell me who you are.
Listener,
we'll wish you happy birthday.
Absolutely. All right, let's get back now to Ezra Stone and the Aldrich family.
Is there a class in this room next period, Homer?
Sure. What are all those questions you're filling out, Henry?
Nothing, Homer, nothing important. It's just some information I've got to send away. Could you measure my calf once more, please?
It's pretty hard with this ruler.
Well, just go around me real slow.
It's 14 exactly.
14 for my calf? Gee whiz, my ankle was 14, too.
It was?
Yes, Homer, and I don't want to mislead anyone. I don't want them to send me...
Listen, Henry, what is it you're sending for?
Nothing, Homer. Gee whiz, why would I... Do you know whether Nancy Adams has a class here next period?
I thought you were ignoring her.
I am. That's why I'm waiting to return this book. When I give her this back, it's going to end everything.
Well, let me see that letter just for a second, will you please?
No, Homer.
What does this question at the bottom mean?
What question?
Do you have flat feet? And you wrote in yes.
Now listen, Homer.
Well, what did it say then?
Keep quiet, Homer. Miss Watson just came into the room.
Miss Watson?
Well, boys, you certainly look busy.
Oh, we are, Miss Watson.
You working on your biology?
Well, in a way we are.
Well, isn't that fine? You know, we're going to start working on mice next week.
We are? On mice?
Yes, we're going to compare their development with that of man.
What's that?
Come on, Henry, that's the end of the period and there's a class coming in.
Hello, Henry, what are you doing in here?
Well, I'll tell you, Nancy, I've been waiting. I've been filling out...
Henry, you're getting ink all over yourself.
I am? Well, Nancy, I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed this book.
Well, I'm awfully glad you returned it, Henry, because Bill Turner is anxious to read it.
He is?
Are you sure you're through with it?
Oh, yes. After all, even if I weren't through with it, well, naturally, if Bill wants to read
it... Where have you been for the last week?
Just around.
Hey, Henry, come on.
You go on ahead, Homer. I may be held up here a second.
All right, quiet, please.
You better go, Henry.
I just wanted to tell you, though, how much I enjoyed your book.
Henry Aldrich, don't you and Homer Brown have a class this period?
Yes, Miss Watson. I'm on my way right this minute.
Bye, Henry.
Goodbye.
Henry, let me have a look at that letter, will you?
What letter?
About your flat feet.
Now, Homer. Listen, Homer, where is that letter?
I haven't got it.
But, Homer, I put it in this English book. I put it in this English... You suppose I put it in Nancy's book?
Why would you do that?
I didn't know I did. I was talking to her and I just stuck it in there.
Well, come on. You can't go back now.
Homer, I gotta get that letter.
Why?
My name's on it. Do you think I want a thing like that to be read publicly by Nancy?
Well, you certainly can't get it now, Henry.
Maybe they haven't started yet.
Well, I'm not going in with you. I don't want that whole class to look at me.
Keep quiet, Homer.
Will you all get out your pencils, please?
Miss Watson, I'm sorry to interrupt your lesson like this, but I just returned Nancy to a book. I mean, Nancy's desk has something in it I'd like, need.
Is it anything you can't do without for the rest of the period?
Yes, ma'am. I have to have it.
Well, if it won't take more than a second, you may go to her desk and get it.
Thank you, Miss Watson.
In the meantime, will all of you be copying what is on the board here?
Nancy.
Henry, what on earth is it you want?
I'd like to borrow that book again.
Henry, you didn't have to come all the way back into the class and embarrass me.
But I just happened to remember... I haven't finished it.
I thought you had finished it.
So did I, until
Will
I got
hurry,
out.
Hurry, please.
Yes, Miss Watson.
Here, Henry.
Thanks.
Henry, may I ask what book that is?
This book I just got from Nancy?
Yes.
Well, it's just a book.
What is the title?
Murder on the Third Floor.
That is the book you were in so much of a hurry to get?
Well, I'll tell you, it isn't the murder I'm so anxious.
May I have the book, please?
The whole book?
The whole book.
Well, couldn't I just...
Please do not open it.
No?
May I have it, please?
Yes, Miss Watson.
And I should like to see Nancy Adams immediately after class.
But, Miss Watson...
Will you please leave the classroom?
Yes, Miss Watson. I'll go.
Now, getting back to the troubles of Henry Aldrich, Henry has decided that he needs a course in physical development. After filling out the rather intimate questions on the application blank, he discovers that he has left the blank in a book belonging to Nancy Adams. The scene opens in Henry's school at the close of the period.
Listen, Henry, this will make two classes I've missed just because of you.
Homer, all you have to do is just walk into Miss Watson's classroom, pick up Nancy's book, and walk out with it.
Are you sure Miss Watson isn't in there?
No one's in there. There isn't a soul in there.
Why don't you go in and get it?
Well, gee whiz, Homer, I was going to stand here in the doorway and keep watch for you.
Well, if anyone does come along, Henry, don't speak. Just clear your throat.
Sure, I'll just sort of cough.
Okay.
Nobody's coming, Homer. That's it. Just walk right along as though you owned the place.
Which book is it on to take?
The one your hand is on.
This isn't it?
Well, it must be there, Homer.
Well, come here and show it to me.
All right. Wait a second. I'll close the door partway.
If it was here, it would be here.
Homer, I'm almost positive Miss Watson didn't take it with her.
All right, show it to me.
Well, gee whiz, it's a book with a blue cover.
A blue cover? Blue?
Yes, I will.
Henry, someone's out in the hall.
Well, I'm glad you...
Quick, Homer, duck.
Where will we duck?
Get down here beside her desk.
Did they come in, Henry?
No, they just closed the door. Gee whiz, they locked it.
They locked it? You mean we're locked in and I can't get to solid geometry?
Well, at least they didn't see us, Homer.
But, Henry, I'm weak in geometry as it is.
Well, all we have to do is climb out that window, Homer.
Well, what good will that do? We're way up on the third floor.
Nancy, could you take these keys down to the main office, please?
Yes, Miss Watson.
And, Nancy, if you are quite sure you won't let this book interfere with your studies anymore, you may have it.
Yes, Miss Watson.
After all, Henry Aldrich has much more important things to attend to in school than reading mystery stories.
Yes, Miss Watson.
He's a very nice boy, Nancy. At least he has his good points. But I do wish you'd become more interested in someone who takes things just a bit more seriously.
Be careful, Homer. Do you want to knock me off this fire escape?
Oh, gee whiz, Henry. We've got to get off of here somehow.
Sure, and I suppose you want to go down to the bottom and jump. Don't you realize this fire escape goes right past first and second floor classrooms?
Keep quiet, Henry. Suppose somebody should come back into Miss Watson's room.
Let's close the window we came through. Then if anyone does, they won't hear us.
Easy now, Henry.
I'm being quiet.
That's it. Make all the noise you can.
Homer, all we have to do now is go up the fire escape to the roof.
And then what?
Well, it's bound to lead to something, Homer. Come on, have you got Nancy's book?
Sure, here, take it.
Is my letter in it?
I don't know.
Hey, Homer, what'd you take this for?
What?
This isn't Nancy's book. Gee whiz, it's Miss Watson's report book.
Her report book?
What made you think my letter would be inside that?
Well, you said blue, so I grabbed blue.
Well, you should have looked, Homer. If we get caught with that, we could even be expelled.
Just for having a report book?
Sure.
Well, you can be the one that takes it back, Henry.
I'll take it back, Homer. All I have to do is open the window again.
Be sure no one's in there, Henry.
No one's in there. Gee whiz.
All you have to do is lift, Henry.
I am lifting. Get away so I can spread my elbows.
Does it open?
Let me try once more.
Well, what's the matter, Henry? Are you weak?
Oh, gee whiz, maybe I do need... Wouldn't you think I could at least open a window... when it's an emergency?
Well, you're certainly in a nice fix. You've got Miss Watson's reports, and Nancy's got your measurements.
Sure, and probably by this time, Nancy's read the whole thing. Come on, pull, Homer.
Boys! Boys, what are you doing up there?
Who is it, Henry?
What are you doing up there?
It's Mr. Bradley. He's down in the courtyard.
Boys!
Why, we're just trying to open a window.
Don't you know the rules about going out on the fire escape?
Are there any special rules, Mr. Bradley?
What are your names?
Why, I'm Henry Aldridge.
Who?
Homer Brown.
Who?
Henry and Homer.
Aldridge and Brown?
Yes, sir.
Will you please report in my office at once?
Yes, sir. How would you like to have us get there?
Any way you can.
Well, the only trouble is, Mr. Bradley...
What's that?
Nothing. We'll get down.
Hey, Nancy. Wait, Nancy.
I've got to go to class, Bill.
What's that book you've got?
Murder on the Third Floor.
Let me read it, will you?
Henry Aldrich hasn't finished it yet, Bill.
But I've got a study period, and I've got to have something to read.
Bill Turner, you give me that book.
I won't hurt it.
Bill, let me have it. Please, Bill. Bill, bring it here.
And now then, class, the first question is, what is the comparative...
Did you get the window open, Henry?
Sure.
Nice going.
May I ask what this means?
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Van Wee.
Do you realize you literally are breaking into a Latin class?
But this is the only window on the fire escape we could get open.
And Mr. Bradley wants us right away, we think.
Well, get out of the room quickly as you can, please.
Yes, sir.
Now then, class, what is the comparative of bonus?
Who, me?
No.
About how long have you been a student in this school, young man?
About 3 years, Mr. Bradley.
And this other young man?
About 3 and a half, Mr. Bradley. But that was on account of the mumps right on top of the measles.
I see. Then you both know those fire escapes were placed on this building for emergency use only.
Well, the fact is, Mr. Bradley...
Well, Mr. Bradley, I have some papers here that were just picked up in the third floor hall.
What are they?
Well, they seem to be some sort of a physical education report.
Just post them on the bulletin board, please.
Well, Miss Shea, could you... Is that by any chance my paper?
Yours?
Yes, ma'am, it might be mine.
How much do you weigh?
132 pounds.
Well, this is not yours.
Well, have any others been picked up lately? I mean, around 132?
They have not.
Homer, must you lean on my desk?
Oh, no, sir. Excuse me, I thought you were through with us.
I don't know what gave you that impression.
Excuse me, but could I interrupt you, Mr. Bradley?
You're Bill Turner, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I'm the one that carried 3 men over our goal Saturday.
What were you sent in here for?
Well, I don't suppose I should have been reading this book during study hour, Mr. Bradley.
What's the title?
Murder on the Third Floor.
Murder? Well, gee. Well.
Henry?
Yes, Mr. Bradley?
What do you think of a boy who would spend his time reading a book like that?
Well, I guess it's pretty bad, Mr. Bradley.
That's what I say.
Do you know what I think all three of you boys need?
No, sir.
Suppose you wait here, all of you, while I step out and get your records.
Yes, Mr. Bradley.
Well, Henry, you aren't worried about anything, are you?
Listen, Bill, could I borrow that book a second?
Nancy's book?
Well, all I want to do is take it for 1 second.
What for?
Bill, can't you even let me look at it?
Keep your hands off it.
Look what fell out of it. There's your letter right on the floor.
Oh, gee whiz. Hey, Bill Turner, you take your foot off that.
You make me.
Do you hear me? Take your foot off that letter.
Henry, somebody's coming.
I don't care.
Mr. Bradley, Miss Watson asked me to...
Gee whiz.
Henry!
Hello, Nancy.
Close the door.
Let go of my leg.
You lift your leg. Do you hear me? Lift it.
Boy, stop it.
Lift his leg, Henry.
Gee whiz. Hey, Bill, quit. You're twisting my head off.
Yeah?
Bill Turner, you stop that.
Darn you, Bill. There.
Henry.
Gee, Henry, did you knock him out?
Oh, boy.
Gee, you lifted him right off the floor.
Hey, what hit me?
He's all right, Henry. Pick him up before Mr. Bradley comes in.
Come on, Homer, let's lift him onto the couch.
Listen, Aldrich, what did you hit me with?
I just used my bare hands, didn't I, Nancy?
Now then, young man. Turner, did anyone invite you to lie down on that couch?
No, Mr. Bradley.
I'll help him up, Mr. Bradley.
Don't you think he can get up himself?
Well...
I'm up.
Well, young lady?
Miss Watson asked me to bring her keys down here.
Thank you. Turner, here's what I want you to do. I want you to spend a part of each lunch hour for the next 10 days picking up the papers in the halls of this building.
On all three floors?
On all three floors. And as... How did Miss Watson's report book get here on my desk?
On your desk, Mr. Bradley.
Nancy, will you see that she gets it?
Yes, sir.
Aldrich and Brown.
Yes, Mr. Bradley.
Yes, Mr. Bradley.
Aldrich, what is that you're tearing up?
Why, it's just a sort of a letter that I've decided I won't need to send away.
It so happens that the gym instructor needs a couple of huskies, such as you two, to go down each afternoon and help him move the steel lockers.
Move them?
Yes, sir.
Aren't there a couple of hundred, Mr. Bradley?
There are more than a couple of hundred. It will take every afternoon for the next 2 weeks.
Well, gee whiz.
That's all right, Homer. The exercise will do us good.
Henry Aldrich will be back in just a moment. In the meantime, remember, there are two big reasons why you like Postum. You like it if coffee keeps you awake. And you love it as a good hot mealtime drink that all the family can and will enjoy. So tomorrow, ask your grocer for Postum.
Henry, do you suppose you could open the window, please?
Sure.
Here, I'll pull on one end with you.
Gee whiz, I don't need any help, Nancy. Do you think I'm a weakling? Oh, boy.
Listen again next week to the Aldrich family, same time, same station, for another sparkling half hour with your favorite youngster, his family, and his pals. The Aldrich Family, starring Ezra Stone, is written by Clifford Goldsmith. Original music is composed and conducted by Jack Miller. This is Harry Von Zell saying, you will enjoy fragrant, flavorful Postum. And remember, Postum contains no stimulants. It cannot keep you awake. Good night.
That's the Aldrich family, November 6, 1941, going back to your birth year, Lisa.
Yeah. If you only knew my birth date, you'd be in good shape.
I think it's October.
Is he still trying to guess?
I think it's
the 17th.
It's not. And you know what? Some of the listeners probably know because we celebrated my birthday.
I think it's the 17th.
On October
19th.
And somebody, I shared
all
a birthday.
Right, it's the 19th.
It's not. And I shared a birthday with somebody who listens all the time. She used to text and say, I have the same birthday as you. Somebody knows my birthday.
Anyway,
Carl, it's October 35th.
No.
You see, now Roger knows.
That's what it is. This Aldrich Family episode was from November 6, 1941, Muscle Building Course with Ezra Stone, along with Jackie Kalk, House Jameson, and Catherine Roth. Harry Von Zell doing the announcing, sponsored by Postum. I think that was like a Postum was like an iced coffee or something.
No.
Like that?
It was instant coffee.
Oh, an instant
coffee.
Yeah,
it came out, I believe, during the war. It was not exactly pure coffee.
Yeah.
And so it was, and they still sell it.
Postum.
Yeah. They still sell it.
Heard on NBC. I could never, ever drink instant coffee where you take the coffee and you mix it with water. I just can't drink that.
He's high maintenance.
I'm like a coffee kind of snobby person.
Just a coffee snob.
Just the coffee. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could drink Postum then, Roger.
No, you
so
would
don't
not
get
like
me that
it.
For my you. August 20th birthday.
We'll give him some spam and some Postum
spam
and see how
Postum.
It goes for him.
Listen, Nick DiGilio swears by spam. He loves spam.
Yeah. You are not Nick DiGilio.
Wow.
What does that mean?
You're different.
You're
just different.
He likes spam.
I know, that's fine.
I couldn't eat spam.
You're different.
Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Okay, hour three of the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night, 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning. That means Saturday and Sunday, Lisa.
Oh, you're very confusing.
So
Saturday
make sure you start
Sunday,
coming to both days.
Not or, but and.
Start coming to both days from
I'll
now on,
I'll try to
would
remember.
You?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, because I'm telling you, my baseball player buddies, they don't know that I'm on two nights. Yeah,
well, they've been knocked a few times in the head or something, the baseball.
Yes. Yeah.
That might be your problem as well.
I think it's a
too
lot
too many baseballs.
Well, remember what
happened? You fell on black ice.
Listen.
I know.
Roger, do you know this?
Oh, no, Roger.
Roger?
Oh, does he have to tell this story again?
Tell him you heard it.
Do you know this story?
I heard this story. Sure, yeah.
He fell off black ice.
You hit your head, and you don't remember much until you woke up, and yeah, we all know.
Yep, same. Okay. Got it.
Well, then I don't have to say it again.
Right. No. Self-explanatory story.
And you know how many concussions I've had? And this is serious stuff. Concussions are very bad. You know how many concussions I've had? I've had probably 6 or 7 concussions.
From baseball?
Since you were a kid?
Between baseball and gymnastics and falling on black ice
right.
and hitting my head.
Right.
So maybe that's why
I'm, sure.
I'm like I am.
Mm-hmm.
It could be.
Yeah.
There's
I'm not arguing.
Be some,
a whole
there's
got to
be some medical,
stuff.
Some medical
blame
reason.
Blame it on something.
For, yeah. I think so. But you know what?
You're like,
all of this old-time radio facts are in there, though. They haven't
I was going to say, you're like a savant.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know
you
anything
have
else.
An enormous amount of knowledge on one particular thing.
Right.
And then everything else sort of falls by the wayside.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, like what day your birthday is.
Right.
Stuff the, like that.
I remembered my birthday.
Stuff.
Mine's yeah. August 20th.
Well, that's what's important.
Well, that's what you've been told.
I think
Go
hers
ahead.
Is the 19th of October.
It's not.
I think it is.
It's not.
Pretty sure it is, Roger.
Okay.
Okay, in this hour, Crime Does Not Pay, starring Charles Corvin, who is Carlos, the Latin dance instructor on The Honeymooners, in one of the funniest episodes of all time on The Honeymooners. That's coming your way this hour, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars as Ray Breslin in the upcoming film Escape Plan 2 Hades, a sequel to the 2013 film Escape Plan.
Yeah. You know who was in that movie?
I'm not going to mention it yet.
You know who was in Escape Plan?
No.
Jim Caviezel. He was the bad guy. He was the warden in that.
Oh, well, that's
and
not the person we're
also,
looking for, though.
Arnold. Arnold was in that movie,
again,
too. I didn't see it, but...
Not the person we're hoping
right.
for here.
So the number to call, 312-981-7200. What do they win?
A pack of 4 admission tickets to Lyle's Eyes to the Skies Festival on June 30th through July 2nd.
Lyle's Isles?
Lyle's Eyes to the Skies.
What is it?
It's 3 nights of fireworks and balloon launches and live music and carnival. It sounds like a lot
of
fun.
Wow, that sounds great.
Right.
All right, call us, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor can be heard here.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I ain't got it no more.
All right. Maybe I ain't got it no more.
Yeah.
All right. 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
And we're back and playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play that movie clip again.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I ain't got it no more.
Yeah, maybe I ain't got it no more.
Yeah, you don't got it
Adrian.
No more.
Adrian.
Let's talk to Maria. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Who is that actor with that distinctive voice?
Sylvester Stallone
is right, and we are thrilled to give you a pack of 4 admission tickets to Lyle's Eyes to the Skies. It's a festival on June 30th through July 2nd. It's 3 nights of fireworks, balloon launches, live music, carnivals, and the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis broadcast live from the festival on Friday, June 30th from 3 to 7 p.m. for the Allstate Hometown Voices. So you can check it out at WGNradio.com/events. Thank you so much for calling in, Maria. We're so happy to send you there.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It sounds like
my
fun.
My parents' anniversary. So
oh, perfect.
I'm excited to come with.
What
nice.
A great gift.
Yep.
I'm sure Carl would like to join you,
yeah, I'll
too.
Go with.
Why not? You have an extra ticket.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll come with you guys.
That sounds like fun. Thanks for calling.
I eat a lot, though. You might have to buy me some.
He does.
I eat a lot, Maria.
He does.
Even though, but I'm on this diet now, and it's working, so.
Well, you're doing something right.
Maybe it's curbing my appetite a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yo, Adrian.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Crime Does Not Pay. Let me tell you a little bit about this series,
okay.
Lisa. Because I had never heard this show before. I just acquired some of these. It was a crime drama, and it was based on a series of films that were released by MGM beginning way back in 1935. Now, MGM had its toe into radio syndication. They were syndicating The Adventures of Maisie, The Story of Dr. Kildare, The Hardy Family. And then they decided to do a crime series, and this was what they decided to do, Crime Does Not Pay. Came to radio in 1949, lasted until 1952. These were moralistic crime stories featuring B-movie actors in the lead roles. And it had New York's best supporting players like Everett Sloan, John Gibson, Donald Woods, Martin Gable. This particular episode, as we say, stars Carlos, a Latin instructor on the Honeymooners. His name was Charles Corvin, and this program is called Summertime Take. It's from November 21st, 1949. Here's part one of Crime Does Not Pay.
Crime does not pay.
You were careless, Bugsy, and you can't be careless. Not in this business.
What do you mean, careless? The jerk had a ton of ruck and cast iron hung on him. How could he come out?
I don't know, except the paper says something about gases in the body making the stiff float, rocks or no rocks.
Sure, it's physics and chemistry, that's what.
So now we gotta go to college and study physics. There's no finish to this.
What about Carolet's finish? Can you make that scientific?
Yeah, I'll make it scientific. I'll fix him good with an ice pick.
In the interest of good citizenship and law enforcement, we present Crime Does Not Pay, based on the famous Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer series of short subjects. In just a moment, you will hear Summertime Take, starring Charles Corvin. Now, Crime Does Not Pay, starring Charles Corvin as Bugsy Portnoy in Summertime Take. Summertime is a good time for most people. Their vacations and all that goes with them. The resorts, the fun, the games, the freely spent money that has been saved for just this purpose during the other 11 months of the year. And where there is freely spent money, you'll find those who dip their fingers in it for their own purposes. Ozzie White dipped his fingers into that money and came up with double handfuls. Ozzie controlled the slot machines, the one-armed bandits, which stood invitingly in every bar, every casino in the resort area where Ozzie operated. Year in and year out, the nickels, dimes, and quarters flowed through the machines into Ozzie's pockets. And Ozzie had an organization. There was Specs, his accountant, for one. Ozzie trusted Specs and listened when he had something to say.
I don't like it, boss. It don't look good to me.
No, what's wrong?
Last year, the machines at Swan Lake gave us twice the take we're getting this year.
That's so?
Same thing at White Lake.
How'd you run across it?
Well, just playing around. The figures looked off this summer, but the hotels are as packed with suckers as last year. So I ran a check. Here's the figures. See, boss, 1947, 48, and 1949.
Mm-hmm. I see. How do you figure it?
Me, I just play with the numbers, boss.
And somebody else is playing with the tape.
Well, I wouldn't be hasty, boss.
Why not? You're sure of your figures, aren't you?
I ain't no CPA, but I can add and subtract.
Looks like somebody's been subtracting before we ever see the dough. Bugsy, come on in here.
You want me, Ozzie?
I called you, didn't I? Who's the collector in the Swan Lake District, Bugsy?
Wally Sage, you know that.
Has he been around lately?
Yesterday.
You notice anything different about him?
Well, he's got some new shirts.
Silk. Anything else?
Nothing special. If there was, I'd notice it.
Yeah, I guess you would. How about Carolet Carter?
Nothing much. Why?
Any new shirts?
No, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Carolet's collecting for us at White Lake. The take's awful low this year at White and Swan both.
I get it. Somebody needs a lesson, eh?
Yeah. And you're the best teacher I know, Bugsy. So take care of it for me, will you?
Nothing like the country in the summer, I always say.
Nice of you guys to go out of your way to take me up to the lake.
Think nothing of it, Wally. Think nothing of it.
Keep your eyes on the road, Smitty.
Don't worry about him, Bugsy. Smitty's the best driver I know. I like to sit next to him just to watch him work.
Bugsy likes the back seat. That's where he works.
That the lake up ahead, Smitty?
Yeah. Pretty in the moonlight, ain't it?
Nice view.
There's a better one up ahead.
I like this one. Park for a minute, Smitty. Let's enjoy the moonlight.
Sure, sure. Never thought you were romantic, Bugsy.
Oh, I got my moments.
Yeah, you certainly have, Bugsy. Boy, quiet out here.
Nearest place is the inn, 5 miles up the road.
That's so. Hear what he said, Smitty?
Yeah, I heard.
Grab your end of the rope, Smitty. Pull, Smitty. Pull!
No, I got it, Bugsy. Now hold it.
This will teach you, Wally. When you collect for Ozzy, you collect honest and turn in every nickel. Every nickel!
He's done, Bugsy.
Nothing like it, Smitty. Piece of rope over the head from the back seat. Crossed ends. You pull on one, I pull the other. The guy just can't make any noise. First pull breaks his windpipe.
Yeah, smooth. Smooth.
Let's get rid of him.
Right. You got enough line to tie him with?
No line. Picture wire. Rope will rot in the water. We'll get the stuff out of the trunk.
Okay, sure.
I always figure this is simpler and faster than a cement jacket. Twice around the ankles, and the arms crossed behind. Very neat.
Here's a slot machine base, Bugsy. Plenty heavy.
Now, there's a terrific idea, if I say so myself. The jerk dips into the take, so we hang a base around his neck. that'll teach him. Twist that wire tight, Smitty.
Yeah, I got it. It'll teach him, all right. But we'll keep him down.
Plenty of rocks. That's why I picked this spot. Here. I will hitch this one to his feet. You got the clippers?
Yeah, in my back pocket. Here.
Good. That'll hold it. Come on, take his head, Smitty.
Hey, can't we drag him? He's awful heavy.
And leave the marks on the ground? Ozzy wouldn't like that. Ready?
Lift. Never thought of that. There's a part of the point.
Just a step or two. Water's plenty deep off the point.
Oh, what a night for a swim. Look at the moon on the water.
Yeah, Wally liked the country.
Hey, next time, let's take the body to the edge first and tie the weights on there, huh?
You got something there, Smitty. Ready?
Set.
Okay. We'll swing him. Toss him out as far as we can. When I say three, let him go.
Right with you.
One. Two. Three. That does it. He'll never come up. Let's go.
Boy, that'll teach him a lesson.
Jimmy, isn't it heavenly up here?
You never been to Swan Lake before?
No. Have you?
It's my second summer. What do you like about it?
Oh, everything. Mountains, the sky, and the lake. It's never cold, this lake. Not like some I've been in.
Well, that's because it's artificial. It's fed by small streams from the mountains that were dammed up years ago.
What are you, a walking encyclopedia?
No, a rowing encyclopedia. Oh, sometimes I wish the summer could go on forever. Betty?
Yes, Jim?
Betty, I... Nothing.
Jim, are there large fish in this lake?
Oh, they stock it with fish from time to time. Trout, mostly. They don't grow very large.
I see.
Why?
I thought I saw fish. It was sort of white and large. Seem to be floating.
Well, fish don't float unless they're dead. Where is it?
Over there. Hmm? Look, turn around to the right.
Looks more like a white glove to me.
Maybe it is. Funny, a glove floating out here.
Let's get it, Am I headed for it?
Left or... That's it.
There.
Not both. Good. Hold your course, sailor.
Aye, aye, ma'am.
Hold it. We'll pass the thing, whatever it is. Jim. Jimmy.
What is it?
It's attached to something.
Let me see. Betty, don't look. For heaven's sake, don't look.
What? What is it?
It's no glove. It's a human hand tied to another. The body's floating just below the surface of the water.
Hey, boss. Boss!
Hmm?
It looks like Bugsy's slipping here in the paper. Body found in Swan Lake, tentatively identified as that of Wally Sage, small-time mobster.
Give me that.
Yes.
From the condition of the body, which was in a remarkable state of preservation, it was judged that the gangster had been dead about a week. Identification was made from the face.
Bugsy, come on in here.
What's wrong, Ozzy?
Wrong. Here, read it.
So, it came up after all.
What's the matter? You slipping?
I don't see how. Smithy and me, we barely lugged him with a slot machine base tied to his chest and a rock on his feet.
Read the end of the story.
The body might have remained at the bottom of Swan Lake indefinitely had not the warm waters of the lake accelerated the accumulation of gases within it. Police authorities pointed out that its gases retained within the body brought about the buoyancy sufficient to overcome the weight slash to the body.
Oh, all the rotten luck.
Looks like Wally had stomach trouble. Gas.
1 week. One stupid week and they find him.
So what, boss? They can't pin it on us.
You are careless, Bugsy, and you can't be careless. Not in this business.
What do you mean, careless? The jerk had a ton of rock and cast iron hung on him. How could he come up?
I don't know. Except what I read in the papers, but the stiff floated, rocks or no rocks.
Sure, it's chemistry and physics, that's what.
So now we gotta go to college and study physics. There's no finish to this.
What about Carolet's finish? Can you make that scientific?
Yeah. I'll make it scientific. I'll fix him good. With an ice pick. When Smitty and I get through with him, he'll stay down forever.
In just a moment, Crime Does Not Pay will continue with Summertime Take.
All right, there you have the first portion of Crime Does Not Pay with Summertime Take from 1949. We'll get back to it in just a few moments.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hey, don't forget, folks, if you have not signed up for freeradioclassics.com, it's not too late. You can get an email every Monday from me with a classic radio show embedded in the email. So you can collect 52 classic radio shows every year absolutely free. All you have to do is sign up. Go to freeradioclassics.com, put your first and last name and your email address, and then hit send. You'll get a confirmation email. Click that, and then you're signed up. And every Monday around 2 o'clock or so, you will get an email from me that has a classic radio show in it. Plus, what are other things that are on that classic radio email?
Oh, there'll be a summary of the radio show. There'll be the stars that perform in the radio. There'll be the original radio ads in there, the original air date, all kinds of goodies.
And
like
a picture.
Oh, a picture is very important.
Yeah, very important. There's a picture. Yeah, so just go there. It's free. Freeradioclassics.com. Sign up. Okay, it's time for the conclusion now of Crime Does Not Pay.
Now we continue with Crime Does Not Pay, starring Charles Corbin as Bugsy Portnoy in Summertime Take. The summer moved along. The collection from the slot machines went on, and Specs checked his figures on receipts against the preceding years. Again, there was a mysterious discrepancy which was traced to the collections in the White Lake District. Apparently, the lesson taught Wally Sage had failed to have its proper effect on Carolet Carter. And so it happened that once again, a car sped along a highway with Smitty in the driver's seat, Bugsy in his usual place in the rear, and Carolet Carter in front, next to the driver, next to death.
Like the country, Carolet?
I can take it or leave it alone.
This is your district here, isn't it?
Sure. Sure, this is White Lake right here.
Any points of interest around here, huh?
What do you mean, points of interest?
Like views or something.
I wouldn't know. I tend to business strictly.
That's so.
Well, well, well.
Ever been in swimming?
Too cold for me.
So I heard. Springford Lake, ain't it?
I suppose. I leave that to the same jerks who play our machines. Suckers.
Does anybody ever win?
Once in a while. Gotta have a come on. So we let a couple of them hit the jackpot. But mostly they get three lemons. Hey, what are you slowing down for? We'll never make the hotel before midnight at this rate.
We got plenty of time. Just want to look at the view.
Since when are you interested in the beauties of nature, Smitty?
Since a few weeks now. Especially in lakes with cold water, nice deep spots.
Yeah. Especially in lakes with cold water.
What's with you guys?
You are, Carolot.
Yeah, but not for long.
Time's up, Carolot. You've got to learn the same lesson like Buddy. Don't ever try to put on one over on Ozzy. Pull, Smitty.
I'm pulling. Jerk's got a tough throat.
Here's the ice pick.
Where'll I give it to him?
In the belly.
So the gas will get out.
Right. Come on, Smitty. Give it to him. Fix him up like a soup strainer. The more holes, the merrier.
Where's the boat?
Hit it in that clump of bushes yesterday. The rocks and slot machine base are in it. This one ain't never gonna come up. Up here we're dumping him.
Bugsy, meet Bullets Morgan.
How are you?
Glad to know you. Ozzy tells me you know your business.
Thanks.
Bullets is the new collector up White Lake way.
Yeah.
Ozzy told me how you took care of my predecessor for him.
Nothing to it. 2 months now, and he's still feeding the fish.
Yeah?
Specs here, Ozzy. You got your radio on?
No, why?
There's a news broadcast in a minute. You better catch it.
Why?
It's all over town. They found Carolot.
What?
That's all I know. The newsboy sent it out. You can get it on the radio. See you later.
Bugsy, turn on the radio, will you?
Nothing on now but news.
I know. Turn it on.
Sure. Never knew you were interested in their national situation, Ozzy.
I'm not. Business is too good around here. Shut up now and listen.
And so much for the news picture overseas. Here at home, a sensational development is the discovery of the body of Carolot Carter.
Richard.
Found floating in White Lake upstate. Carter, a mobster thought to have been connected with a gambling racket, was strangled and stabbed at least 15 times, probably with an ice pick. Wired to his body were several weights, and it is apparent that he had...
He couldn't come up. He just couldn't.
But he did.
I don't see how. He was so full of holes of gas, just couldn't stay in.
But it did. When did you use the pick on him, Bugsy?
How do you mean?
Before or after you killed him?
During.
Oh, you gotta do it after.
Why?
We had a job like this back in Detroit. When you stick them before, the blood runs to the hold and stops them up, see?
I get it. I never thought of that.
It looks like you never thought of a lot of things, Bugsy.
About 2 months, Ozzy. It's 2 months.
It's a cold lake. It's like an icebox.
What do you want me to do about it?
There's nothing you can do about it. We just got to ride along and watch our step for a while, that's all. They can't tie it to us.
Well...
next time, you'll know.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's that. When are you going to show Bullets his territory, Bugsy?
Anytime he's ready.
No time like the present, I always say.
Why not? Smitty's got a car. We can drive up now.
Suits me. Okay with you, Ozzy?
Sure.
The quicker, the better. Go on, beat it, both of you. Have a good time. But don't play the machines. That's a sucker's operation.
This is nice country, Bugsy.
Yeah, if you like country.
Hey, remember how Wally liked the moon on the lake, and then over comes the rope?
You two really have that operation down to a science.
And how? Bugsy sits back where you are, see? The victim sits where Bugsy is right now, next to me. We stop the car. Bugsy throws the rope over his head. We stick it in. Ba-ba-boom. That's all.
Neat, quick, quiet. Who said it?
Neat, quick, quiet. The victim sits where Bugs is. Where I am right now.
How's Ozzy to work for, Smitty?
Okay, swell. But he don't like two things. Guys would steal from him, and guys would make the same mistake twice.
You can't say I blame him.
The same mistake twice. Ozzy doesn't like that. And I'm sitting where the victim sits. Who is this Bullets Morgan anyway? Why didn't Ozzy give the collecting job to Smitty? He was in line for it, or to me.
What's the matter, Bugsy? He ain't said nothing for 5 minutes.
Nothing to say, just watching the scenery.
Sure is deserted around here.
Yeah, that's why we do most of our jobs in this neighborhood.
This is the neighborhood. Why did Smitty make this road? Does he bring these bullets in to do a special job? That's what. And me. That's why we're out here. Me, I'm next. Next on the hit parade.
What's the matter, Bugsy? You sick? You're shaking like a leaf.
No, nothing.
What's the matter, guy? You seen a ghost?
Hey, when Bugsy gets to say ghost, brother, it'll be more than one.
They're kidding. Like I did with the others. They're trying to keep me from seeing where we're heading.
Hey, Bugsy, you want I should stop for a minute?
No, don't stop.
Hey, what's with you?
You don't get me. Not like with Wally and Carol. I know the trick. You don't get me.
He's gone nuts.
Bugsy, cut it out.
No, I'm getting out. I want to live. You don't get me.
Hey, Bugsy, leave that door alone.
Bugsy, you're nuts.
No, I'm getting out. I'm getting away now before you tie a rock to my feet.
Come on, Smitty. We gotta find him. Brother, as he'll have our necks.
Yeah, find him in these woods at night. Where? Which way did he go?
Back this way. Into the trees.
No. You don't get me in no woods. Not with Bugsy nuts and packing a piece. Besides which, I ain't no Indian. I hate the country.
Can't let them get me. Want to live. Gotta get the phone. Yeah, phone. Maybe a house. There's a house. Maybe a phone can't tell. Wake him up. He'll help me. Help me.
Wake up. Wake up. Help me. Help. I need help. Please. Somebody got to be inside. Help. Help me. Someone's there. Someone's coming. Hurry, please, hurry, they're after me.
Now, what's all this about?
You got to let me in. I'm in danger. Two men, they'll kill me.
Around here, nobody in this neighborhood but us.
Joe, let the young man in. You can't keep him on the porch all night.
Oh, yes, Martha. Well, come in.
Thank you. Thank you a million times.
Joe, look at the young man.
I'm looking. Silly fella.
But his clothes are all torn. His face is scratched.
I jumped from a car there. They were going to kill me.
Who was going to kill you?
Smitty and Bullets. You've got to hide me. They'll be after me. Ozzy won't let me get away.
Young man, I think you've been drinking.
No, it's the truth. You've got to save me.
Joe, where are you going?
The telephone. Sounds like business for the sheriff to me.
Yes, the sheriff. I'll talk. If I talk, they'll protect me. They'll let me live. How did they do that?
What's that? It's just a phone. Hello, Sadie. I want the sheriff. Quick.
You saved me. I don't know how I'll ever repay you.
Now, don't you worry about that. Living way out here, we don't get much chance to help folks when we can.
Sheriff Winter.
Hello, Sheriff. This is Joe Karoski.
Hi, Joe. You got trouble out your way?
Maybe. Hold on. We've got a visitor. I'll let him talk to you. Here, young man. Take the phone.
Yes. Thank you. This is the sheriff?
Yep. Who are you?
This is Bugsy Portnoy. You know the name.
Never heard of it.
You heard I wasn't white.
Yes, so what?
I worked for him. He sent me out to get it like Wally Sage and Carol Carter got it. Tonight, I know how they got it. And I was going to get it too, only I jumped before.
How do you know how they got it?
I did it both times, but I want to live. I got to live. You can save me, but you got to help me. I'll tell you everything. Please, come for me. They're looking for me now. Hurry. I live in jail. Outside, I'm dead. Come for me. I don't want your rope and the water and the gas inside. I'm afraid. Afraid. Hurry, please. I don't want to think I know.
not pay.
Now, here in person is Charles Corbin.
Believe me, Bugsy Portnoy was an interesting character to portray because his swaggering, his viciousness, and his eventual and inevitable breakdown are typical of the small-time gangster with his usual delusions of grandeur. However, it is just as interesting to notice the contempt in which the other characters held the plain people whose coins in the slot machines made up the summertime take. These are people like you and me, people who lend their support to criminals because we don't stop to think about what we are doing, because we are misled so many times by the simple words, innocent amusement. You see, in the end, it is up to us to stop this kind of criminal activity by the simple act of refusing to lend it our support under any and all circumstances. Yes, in the end, it is the plain people, the good citizens, who can prove that crime does not pay.
Thank you, Charles Corbin. Crime Does Not Pay is written by Ira Marion and directed by Marks D. Lowe, with music composed and conducted by John Gart. Technical advisor is Burton B. Turkus. The events, characters, and names used in the story you've just heard are fictitious. Any similarity is purely coincidental.
All right, that is a syndicated program by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. They got into the syndication business. They were making movies. I mean, they were one of the biggest studios of the 1930s and 40s, for sure. They're still a big studio. They do all the Bond films. And they decided, hey, you know what? Let's take some of our properties, like The Adventures of Maisie and The Story of Dr. Kildare. These were very, very popular movies that they had. The Hardy Boys, you know, Hardy films. Not the Hardy Boys, but the Hardy Family with Mickey Rooney. That was all MGM movies. So they said, hey, radio seems to be a money-making idea. Let's take these characters and turn them into radio. And they did. They got Ann Southern, who was in the movies, that played, you know, Maisie Revere. And she did a radio series, The Adventures of Maisie. Same thing with Story of Dr. Kildare. They used the same two guys, Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore, that were in the movies, and did a radio show, The Story of Dr. Kildare. Well, they did this with a film series that they had called Crime Does Not Pay. It was in the 30s that they had that film series, and they just sort of took it, changed it a little bit, and turned it into a radio show. And they cast pretty much B-movie actors. There was not any major names, but every episode was a different. It wasn't an anthology. It was, it wasn't a continuing series. It was more of an anthology, and they would have a different drama and a different star every single week. So I hope you enjoyed that. We have a bunch that we added to the library, so we'll play more if you'd like. And you know what, folks? This is a perfect opportunity for you to let us know what you want to hear. Now, we play, if you're a longtime listener of this show, you know that we play all the big-time shows, Jack Benny and Inner Sanctum, The Shadow, Suspense, Lights Out, Burns and Allen, Charlie McCarthy. We play all those types of shows, the shows that you all know and love. But every once in a while, we like to play a more obscure show like this. I had never even heard this program until recently. But we can play pilot episodes for you if you'd like. You know, just let us know. Do you want to hear some of the more obscure things? Because we have them. I have over 100, almost not over, but just, I think, about 99,000 something episodes.
Yeah, you need to get a few
in
more
the library.
There.
I'm going to try to get over the 100 mark. And we have them all. Digitally remastered, all ready to go. We want to make you happy. We want to know what you want to hear. Best way to do that is to text us or to go to our Facebook. Our text in line, 312-981-7200. And you can go to Facebook, search WGN Radio Theater. When you go there, please like us. But just let us know what you want to hear, and we'll be sure to play those episodes for you.